The authors throughout Scripture remind us of those
who have gone before us. Am I touching something up here I shouldn't be touching? They constantly point to the deeds and exploits, the words and ways of the ancestors. They do so to encourage, to cajole, to embolden, to inspire, to reassure, and to strengthen. The author of Ecclesiastes may have written the words, "There's nothing new under the sun," but there have always been new and unique human beings to experience in their own ways all that life has to offer underneath the sun. The author of the letter to the Hebrews, which we'll hear today, writes to encourage faith in Christ and to rekindle a love found in the way of Jesus. The author points to the examples of faith found in Abel, Enoch, Noah, the faith of Abraham and Moses, and to the faith of other heroes and saints of the church.
The scripture for today is found in the New Testament book, Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 32 to 38, and chapter 12, verses 1 through 12, Common English Bible. What more can I say? I would run out of time if I told you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Through faith, they conquered kingdoms, brought about justice, realized promises, shut the mouths of lions, put out raging fires, escaped from the edge of sword, found strength in witness, were mighty in war, and routed foreign enemies. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured and refused to be released so they could gain a better resurrection. But others experienced public shame by being taunted and whipped. They were even put in chains and in prison. They were stoned to death. They were cut in two. They died by being murdered with swords. They went around wearing the skins of sheep and goats, needy, oppressed, and mistreated. The world didn't deserve them. They wandered around in deserts, mountains, caves, and holes in the ground. So then, with endurance, let's also run the race that is laid out in front of us. Since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let's throw off any extra baggage, get rid of the sin that trips us up, and fix our eyes on Jesus, faith's pioneer and perfecter.
This is a day set aside to remember and honor the saints who have gone marching into eternity ahead of us. I could say today is a day to remember those persons upon whose shoulders we stand, but I'm not so sure about what some folks might make of the metaphor of our ancestors being below us.
Warm down there, Aunt Jo?
I like the imagery that the author of the letter to Hebrews evokes. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And then I get to thinking, all fine and dandy, until the cloud starts to pour out rain. I am sure that there are days when our ancestors weep. Yes, we have been told that in heaven there will be no more tears. However, if we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, surely as they circle and whirl around us, watching our lives unfold with all of our bloopers, faux pas, and outright evils, they weep. Turnabout is fair play, however. We look back on some of the antics of our ancestors, and we can't help but weep and laugh. Do you remember when Uncle Joe did so-and-so? Maybe we need to start with the question, what is a saint? To which some have answered, saints are witnesses to the eternal. A saint is holy. A saint is a virtuous person. Or, in the words of one of my favorite authors, Kurt Vonnegut, you meet saints everywhere. They can be anywhere. They are people behaving decently
in an indecent society. A parishioner once mentioned to me that there are no saints. Spoken like a true traditional Protestant who, like Martin Luther some 500 years ago, didn't place much stock in the traditions of our Roman Catholic Church, Mother Church. I didn't get the feeling, though, that this person was against the honorific title saint being given posthumously to a human being. No, this individual couldn't wrap their mind around the idea that someone could be perfect in all ways, every day, and thus declared a saint. I have a problem with that definition of saint as well. I know enough about human nature to declare that no one is perfect. Even Jesus, when he was called good teacher, replied, "Why do you call me good? Only my Father in heaven is good." No, I don't think a saint is a perfect person. I think a saint is a person who is perfectly imperfect. A person who is perfectly imperfect. And in their perfect imperfection, those men and women, ancestors, friends, teachers, pastors, beloved ones, inspire us to a way of life that is greater and richer than the life which we are now living. This is the one true thing that I can say about what it is to be a saint. A saint inspires. A saint inspires. The Baptist preacher Carlisle Marney said that each of us is like a house, and in the house there is a living room where we entertain, and there's a dark basement where we keep our trash. And Marney said, each house has a balcony with all the people who have influenced us and inspired us. Those people are our saints. The way to celebrate All Saints Day, he said, is to step out onto the front lawn and give a wave to all the people on your balcony. My house has a pretty big balcony full of saints. I've been going out to the lawn, metaphorically, and gazing at my balcony of saints this week, giving thanks to Uncle Garland, Grandpa Gerald, to John, Sally, Bob, and Bob, Linda, Woody, Bill, and Sydney, to name a few. I also walked up and down the halls here at Hazelwood this week. I noted the wall of pictures of our pastor saints, beginning with Reverend F.E. Smith in 1912, continuing to Reverend Jason Jones 100 years later, 2012. There's a picture of Mary Howard McGavran, missionary to India, a picture of Mildred White, teacher, and a curious picture downstairs of Velma Sherry Rennick, teacher and organist, with her cat, Muffin. Pictures are not the only way that we honor and remember Hazelwood's saints. We have the Solanke Commons and Cartwright Hall. The church has been built and equipped by saints in the memory of saints, from furniture in the commons to the garden outside and its delightful fountain, to robes and banners, stained glass medallions along our sanctuary walls, audiovisual projectors, a coffee pot, and music. The saints listed in today's scripture reading have not gifted the church with any tangible items. Rather, it's with their faith and perseverance through trials and tribulations and life's difficulties that they have been remembered and they have inspired. And to be honest, it is a curious list that the author to the letter of Hebrews draws upon. These are all judges who presided over the tribes of Israel in the ancient times. These are not perfect saints, if you know your First Testament. Far from it. Gideon was a reluctant hero. Barak could not fight the enemies of Israel alone. He needed Deborah at his side. For all his outer strength, Samson did not have comparable inner strength to rescue his people from the Philistines and he managed to get himself killed along with his enemies. Most tragic and horrific for me as a father of daughters, Jephthah gives the life of his daughter as a burnt offering for the defeat of the Ammonites. How horrific. Samuel, for all his power, could not persuade the people of Israel away from their desire for a king that would rule over them and take, 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 rather than give. The line about these saints being made strong out of weakness could not be more true. Perfectly imperfect. And their lives point to how God uses those imperfections to work God's will for the benefit of the people and for creation. Even tragedy can be used by God, though some remain inexplicable and unexplainable. Still waiting for some notion from God as to how particular tragedies will unfold for the good. Our author goes on to list countless unnamed people of whom the world was not worthy. I like that. Who suffered varying torments, abuse, and death for the sake of God's realm here on earth. We often hear cries today by some who claim that our country persecutes Christians today. In my mind, though, these cries pale in comparison to the fates of our martyrs and saints of yesterday. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we have two to-dos laid out for us by our author. First, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. Easier said than done. We are pretty good at beating ourselves up for our indiscretions, our inadequacies, and our ineptitudes. They're awfully heavy to carry sometimes. Guess what? Our saints carried them as well. If it is any consolation or of any help to know they were human too and struggled just as we struggle, I was reminded this week in a podcast about the power of simply saying to myself, "You are loved." Feeling down, you are loved. Inadequate, you are loved. Overworked, you are loved. And how beautiful that love can be when we not only share it with ourselves, but pass it along the great human chain of being. Second, our author says, let us persevere the race that is set before us. I am an ex-runner who knows the amount of training that is needed to run a marathon or even to walk a half marathon. The thought of more running now at my age, on my knees, ouch. But I think the author's point is not necessarily about the type of race that is set before us. I've recently taken up swimming at the downtown YMCA. A swimming metaphor encourages me a bit more than running. The important point that the author makes is about the race that is set before us, before each of us. What has been set before me is not what has been set before each of you. Each of our saints ran their own races. They had something different set before them by God than what God has also set before us. A brief and important aside, especially in our culture. In today's scripture reading, the author does not say, win the race. The author does not say, win the race. For our faith results in a finish to the race of life that looks a little different than the race that the world runs to win. The author does say, while racing, look to Jesus. For I am sure that the author knew that it is particular traits which we find pioneered and perfected in Jesus that are passed along in the lives of those saints that speak to us and surround us. Words of instruction, words of healing, words to get up and get going, words of blessing and encouragement, words of light heard in the depths of dark despair, squawks and squeaks in a sound system on a Sunday worship. Certainly words of challenge and words asking us to simply remember. And of course, those words that are so missed, words saying, I love you. Show me a perfect saint, and I say you will not see God, because God only works through the imperfect, in the broken, through Christ crucified, through the least of these, through the powerlessness of the cross. The empty tomb follows the grave. Our saints are only as powerful now and as good as we are now. Jesus says we must work the works of God now, while it is day. So let us step out on the lawn into their light, glance up to the balcony, give a wave, give them a nod of thanks, and join them in God's work here on earth, as it is in heaven. Amen.